Now we've come to the section in the belief booklet on justification. Justification. Now, right next to the words justification, right, put an equal sign, equals right standing with God. Right standing with God through Jesus Christ. Now, as the Bible defines it, now we need to understand this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, or just in his own eyes. Even some of the most despicable crimes committed, even the 9/11 crimes, were justified by what? In the name of Allah. See. Human beings cannot operate unless they justify. And that's what the deceptiveness of human nature does. God also has a justification which is profound and very important because it puts you in right standing with God. And notice the sequence of how these have come. You have repentance, water baptism, and justification because those are the steps of the operation that God has. Justification. Now I'll read the from the belief booklet here. Justification is freely granted to the called and repentant believer by God the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Justification takes place when the believer's sins are removed by the blood of Jesus Christ and he or she is put into right standing with God the Father. In order to receive God's gift of justification, a person must repent toward God, believe in the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and be baptized by water immersion. The believer is then cleansed from sin and is without condemnation, placing him or her in right standing with God the Father. The state of justification is called the gift of righteousness because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is freely imputed to the believer by God the Father. Now, why is this so confusing in religious circles in the world? Because it is. See? They like to be justified from their past sins so they can continue in their sins. They don't exactly put it that way, but that's the sum of it. See. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here and see if we can untangle it. And most of these will be in the book of Romans. Let's come to Romans, the second chapter, please. Romans 2. Romans 2 and verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified, showing that upon repentance you have to keep the laws and commandments of God. In other words, if a person is not willing to obey God, he is not going to be justified. It's that simple. Cannot be put in right standing with God. Okay? So the doers of the law. Now let's look at another scripture which has thrown Protestantism into a complete, utter disaster. And that's why it's going to die. You know, Protestantism is dying. You know that, don't you? Now, let's come to Romans, the 9th chapter. And then we will come to a very tricky verse, and I think we can unlock the trickiness of this verse. And that verse is, before we get to Romans 9, come to Romans 10 and verse 4. Okay. Romans 10 and verse 4. Now, when I was in one of my travels, I turned on the TV and I saw Copeland's son preaching, first time I've ever seen him preach. And he started right out there, Hebrews 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Bam. All the law of God is done away. Christ ended the law. There's nothing more to be kept. Do you think it's possible to take that one verse and throw out all the rest of the Bible? You think it's possible to end law? Try ending the law of gravity. Okay? Can't do it. Would Christ, who is the lawgiver, be the end of all law? That's what they assume. Now let's find out what he's talking about, because this has a great deal to do with justification. Let's come back here to verse 30 of chapter 9. Because remember, men made the chapter breaks. It flows right through otherwise. Verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness even the righteousness which is of faith, by believing in God, by being baptized, by receiving the Holy Spirit, by walking in newness of life, so forth. But Israel, which followed after a law of righteousness, as it should read, has not attained to a law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? How did that happen? You know, just like the Pharisee and the publican, you see. Because, continuing verse 32, they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of law. In every case in the book of Romans, with the exception of Romans 2:14, the works of the law should read works of law. Because in the Greek, the definite article is not there, and with the definite article not being there, it is has a different meaning altogether. By works of law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Now chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. There are a lot of people that have zeal for God. A lot of people. But notice, not according to knowledge. And that's why I've recommended that you read the book, The Code of Jewish Law. Because if you haven't read the Code of Jewish Law, you do not understand what he's talking about. The Jews have laws for everything to justify them to Judaism. That does not justify them to God. See? And they are all works of law. So they have a zeal. But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now then, how do people today establish their own righteousness if you're not a Jew? Well, the Catholics have established theirs, haven't they? Eliminated the Sabbath and proclaimed Sunday as a day of worship. Confess your sins to the priest, partake of the seven sacraments, obey the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. That's their own righteousness, not the righteousness of God. Protestants likewise, following in their footsteps, do the same thing. They're not submitting to the righteousness of God. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of God's way, they go about to establish their own righteousness. And whenever you find any time anyone does away with any of the laws and commandments of God which we are to keep, they always come up with their own devices, which is their own righteousness. It always happens. Some people don't like the Sabbath, so they keep Sunday. They don't like the holy days, so they have Christmas, Easter, New Year's, etc. Okay? That's their own righteousness. Some don't believe in tithes and offerings, so they have pledges. Well, that's a substitute system. That's their own righteousness. God has the best way through tithes and offerings. Whatever it may be. Same way with clean and unclean foods. Oh, well, that's not for us today. Listen, don't you think they could cook pork well done? Way back when? Yes. See? The truth is, you can cook pork well done and you look at it under a microscope and you still see the trichinosis in it. God has a reason for that. Now, it's not the time, when I get to the section clean and unclean meats, I'll explain that the New Testament church taught to eat clean foods. Okay, let's go on. Now we're ready for this verse here. Have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. What were they seeking? Their own righteousness. How were they doing it? By works of law. Now we can understand verse 4 very clearly. Because verse 4 cannot be taken out of context with what is there. For Christ is the end of the works of law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Because it's talking about works of law. It's not talking about all the laws of God. As Paul said, God forbid. Shall you murder and say, God, I have license? Shall you bow down to an idol and say, this is my God, like the Dalai Lama? I like to call him the Dalai Lama. He points to this little statue in an interview and says, that's my boss. No. Okay. Christ is the end of the works of law for righteousness to everyone that believes, and that's the context. So that's what it means. Okay? For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does these things shall live by them. That is true. But there's another profound thing which you can read in the Passover book, that under Moses they were justified in the flesh to the temple because they did not have the Holy Spirit of God. See, God does not give salvation to some people one way and salvation to other people another way. He gives it to all people the same way. And that's why when you understand about the second resurrection, those who have not been called now will have the second physical life for a first opportunity because they never had it while they lived because God didn't call them. See, so God is, how should we say the word, modern word today? God is fair. You've got to have fairness. You know? God is fair. Better way of putting it, God is righteous and God is just. Okay. Now let's look at some other scriptures concerning this. So Romans 10 and verse 4 has absolutely nothing to do with the termination of the laws and commandments of God. It terminates the works of law, of sacrifices, and rituals. That's when it terminates. Now, let's come back to Romans 3 and let's look at another difficult verse. And this really blew me away when I first read it. Okay? And I couldn't understand it. And that's Romans 3 and verse 20. And this is where they get all confused. Let's see if we can eliminate some of that confusion today. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. When I first read that, I said, well, what am I doing keeping the commandments of God? That was a stumper for me. Then I went on. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, I understood that. Sin is a transgression of the law. I understood that. This next verse I didn't understand either. For the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And I thought, how can you have righteousness without the law? Because you read that and you think that is the absence of law. Does it mean the absence of law? Or does the Greek mean something else? Okay, we'll answer the question here. Then the next sentence here, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now those two verses seem, in the King James, very contradictory in reasoning in a circle and hard to understand. Now however, if you understand concerning works of law, now let me read it to you the way it should be translated and the way that it will be translated in the coming New Testament here. Therefore, and this is directly from the Greek, therefore by works of law. Aha! That is the sacrifices and rituals. Shall no flesh be justified in his sight? Why? Because there's no repentance, there is no baptism. You see? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. All the laws and commandments of God tell us what is righteous, and breaking that is sin. All of the rituals and animal sacrifices was a reminder of sin, year by year, as the Apostle Paul says. See? Now then, verse 21, now the righteousness of God, which is right standing with God in heaven above, separate. Not without, not the absence of, but separate from the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, how did the sacrifice of Christ come? By law or by grace? By grace. Is that separate from the law and the prophets? Yes, even though they witnessed to it. It is a separate operation. It is a special, separate spiritual operation that God does. For example, if a person commits murder and then escapes, you can probably see some of these documentaries on television. There was an account of one man. He escaped. He wasn't arrested. He went to Colorado, and he lived an exemplary life. And lo and behold, 20 years later, when they had, you know, the Most Wanted on television, had his picture, someone recognized him and turned him in. Now then, just suppose he came before the judge and said, "Judge, look, I want you to overlook this murder. Because after all, I've lived a good life for 20 years. Did his living a good life for 20 years make right the murder that he committed? No. The truth is, no law justifies you, period. And in keeping the laws and commandments of God, you are not seeking justification. You are living in obedience. And that is a different operation. Now, that's why it says, Romans 2 and verse 14, or 13 rather, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified," because you can't be living in a state of sin when you're justified. You must repent and change your ways, then you are not living in a state of sin. Then the blood of Christ is applied to your life, and you are justified. Law cannot justify you. Let's use another example. Suppose you didn't keep any day holy, or suppose that you were a Sunday keeper for years and years, okay, and all of a sudden you find out about the Sabbath. So you start keeping the Sabbath. That's a good step. Now suppose you never go any further, you never repent, you're never baptized, you never follow through on it, and comes time of the resurrection, and God says you're still a sinner. And he says, "Well, I've been keeping the Sabbath. When I found out about it, I kept it." And God says, "All your Sabbath keeping previous when you were breaking it was required, and all your Sabbath keeping that you've been doing since then does not undo the sin which happened previously." See, so when people say that we are seeking to be justified by Sabbath keeping, they are incorrect. Because we are only justified by the sacrifice of Christ, and nothing, brethren, can replace the sacrifice of Christ to forgive your sins, period. No law, no person, no sacrifice can do that whatsoever. And I say sacrifice, I mean animal sacrifice. Now let's read on. How is it done? Verse 22. "Even the righteousness, which then is justification, being put in right standing with God, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." You believe what God has said, you believe in the sacrifice of Christ, and you believe in the blood of Christ, and that justifies you. Nothing else does. Now notice, "Unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference, because even to this day the Jews say they have the corner on the God market. We are the chosen people," they say. Well, if you are the chosen people, thank you, I don't want any of that, because I don't think you're too chosen being over there in Israel called today. Unless, you know, you just think about it, all they've gone through the years, they are not the chosen people. Because they rejected Christ, then God rejected them, and that's just the long and the short of it, and they have to repent like everybody else. They have to accept Jesus Christ. Now, notice verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everyone has. "Being justified freely by His grace not true law-keeping. Commandment and law-keeping is required. That's why the doers of the law shall be justified. The hearers won't. See? But they do not have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to them because they're not willing to quit sinning. Being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, which is continually atoning, cleansing sacrifice, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now let me just clarify one thing here. We're almost done. Let me just clarify one thing. All sin is past sin. Now what do I mean by that? Today, sitting here today, have you sinned tomorrow? No, because tomorrow hasn't come, has it? How could you sin tomorrow here today? It's an incongruous statement. See, when you sin in a moment of time, as soon as you have sinned, it is past, is it not? Yes. So that's why it says of past sins. So that you cannot have something like the Catholic Church has of selling indulgence for future sin. And that's in the very Bible they have, you know, which they read out of occasionally. Of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus Christ. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. What law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now, how about that? There's law and faith put together. The law of faith, which means this is the rule of belief in God and the law by which now through faith you have your sins forgiven through Christ rather than works of law, of ritual, and sacrifices. See? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith separate from the works of law. It's a separate operation. The way you can always remember it is this. Nothing can forgive your sins but the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ, period. Verse 29. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. And how is that established? So that you may love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, and that you do it from the heart and not do it exteriorly just because it is there in the letter. And that is how you are justified to God. Put in right standing with Him. Which is a great blessing and privilege that God has done because He's called you by grace and the great sovereign of the universe has made you then, upon baptism and receipt of the Holy Spirit, one of His begotten children, and you wait the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. That's how you're justified.